What we are going to do this evening, we are going to deal with a subject, wherever it is, where demons take possession, where demons take possession. To recap from yesterday, we talked very briefly about the world of evil. We talked very, very briefly and rather synthetically concerning the doctrine of demons. And we established this one point, that for this presentation, that demons and fallen angels are going to be synonymous and interchangeable in their terminology and application, without being too technical concerning their etymology in terms of where they originate from. And we mentioned one or two little viewpoints which are not really pertinent for this presentation, because this is not a theological presentation. It's more of a practical position to move us forward. And then also, we mentioned very briefly the doctrine of the devil, where the devil comes from, and some of his traits. We'll find some of those in Revelation chapter number 12, verse 7 through number, I think it's 11, where the Bible calls him the devil, Satan, that old serpent, and a dragon. And he has many, many other traits and names that relate to him. Then we talked about demonic systems yesterday, and we ended with demonic systems. Our scripture references were chapter number 12, verse 25 of the book of Matthew. And it was there that we established that Jesus said that Satan has a kingdom that is not divided against itself. He was accused of casting out devils by the prince of devils, Beelzebub. And Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then whom do your children cast them out? Which is placating the fact that there was a practice of exorcism, where devils were cast out by people that did not use, from what we know in terms of the scripture, the name of Jesus. In my name you shall cast out devils, and apply the blood of Jesus. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. So there were practices of exorcism, of casting out of devils, practices of exorcism before Jesus came. But when Jesus comes, the Bible says, we read the scripture in Mark chapter number 1, how he taught the word of God in the synagogue with authority, that exposed a demonic stronghold in the synagogue. And what happened was, they said, we haven't seen this kind of authority. They'd seen authority, but not this kind of authority. Because he cast out spirits by the Spirit of God. People cast out spirits by other means and methods. I've seen some of those. I've seen in a demonic system, I've seen people that were not born again. People that were somewhat, what we would say, evil or wicked, serving in the form of maybe a witch doctor, or a nyanga, an obia man, that will actually cast out a spirit. If you watch Roger Moore in Live and Let Die, in Haiti, in that movie there is a lot of zombieism and phenomenal witchcraft and so on, voodoo, and it is there that the obia man, witch doctor, actually casts out a spirit from one person and it goes on another. So those practices are seen even throughout the scriptures that are implicated in various places. Then we mentioned very briefly demonic methods. We talked about generational systems. Amen. We talked about generational systems. We just mentioned curses. We're going to deal with the classes of curses probably tomorrow. We're going to talk about, we mentioned covenants. We're going to talk about blood covenants. Evil blood covenants. We just mentioned soul ties very briefly. We're going to be talking fairly, maybe deeply, concerning the bastard curse, how it has affected Africa as a whole. And we just kind of mentioned those. And so where we are today, we are going to talk about where demons take possession. Say that. Say that again. Okay, the very first place we have demonic possession is in the airwaves. It's not on your list there. Okay, it's in the airwaves, in the heavenlies above, in the stratosphere above us. The Bible calls Lucifer, according to 1 Corinthians, he calls him the prince and power of the air. He is the prince and power of the air, which means he possesses the airwaves. In that, we understand through various positions of the scripture that there are demonic movements that we have to observe. Chapter number 1 of Job, verse 10, verse 7. The Lord said to the devil, Lucifer, where have you been for the last so many years? And he made this statement. He said, I've been to and fro, up and down, right? So what he literally said there was that Satan moves longitudinally and latitudinally. In other words, he uses certain routes. There are routes in which he functions in. The devil cannot move in certain areas, in certain routes, because those are forbidden. The Bible says that and implies that in the book of Isaiah, that there are certain ways that the evil does not know or cannot function in. So the devil then moves longitudinally and latitudinally in terms of geographical construct. Up and down, back and forward. So that when you are put in the secret place of the Most High, God can put you right on the side of a demonic highway and he'll never see you because he doesn't have the power like on the chessboard. Certain pieces can only move a certain way. Satan is confined to certain movements only. Certain movements only. Let me show you what I mean. Because I fly a lot, and especially over Africa, I can usually look from the plane, look down, and you can see a lot of footpaths. A lot of those footpaths are not created by human beings. They are footpaths created by animals. And if you are doing a trek or a hike, as the Muzungus call it, in the middle of the bush, they will tell you, do not sleep or camp on a path because the animals at night will use that path consecutively. It's the way they take. It's the way they take. The same thing is true of the demonic world. There is a set path they walk in. It's a set path that they walk in. And in so doing, if you happen to be in their path, you're going to have problems. So what the kingdom of God is, the devil does not fear a group of people worshiping. It concerns him, but he doesn't fear that. The devil fears the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God stands in the path of the devil and says, you are not passing here. He stands in the path of the kingdom of God and says, you are not passing here. So what's going to happen in chapter 17 of 1 Kings, there's going to be a power confrontation between two systems. The advancing kingdom and the establishment of a demonic system. So the first place they occupy, is the airwaves. Now watch what they do here. I want to show you something. There are demonic spirits that have never touched the ground. These are high-ranking lords of the spirit world. I come against all resistance in the name of Jesus right now. They are high-level lords in the spirit world, high-level lords that have never touched the ground. These are the originators of all kinds of religion. Many years ago, I was in London, and just outside Victoria Station, there's a number of restaurants. As you come out, there's a bus stop, and there's restaurants on the high road there. And I think there was an Argus, is it Argus or Angus steak place? And there was a spaghetti place there. And I remember having a spaghetti lunch with a gentleman by the name of Billy Cole. And Billy Cole, incidentally, was a missionary to Thailand for many years. And he was in Bangkok. And for many, many years, for 14 years in Thailand, in the early 60s, the man had no converts at all. No converts at all. For 14 years, he had four people in his church. Four people. Because he was fighting something he didn't know what. And a typical missionary who just wanted to go help some people that didn't know the Lord went out there. And after 14 years, in the 14th year, the Holy Spirit taught him one day, said to him, I'm going to teach you how to pray. And the way the Holy Spirit showed him how to pray was that the Holy Spirit showed him the principality over the nation of Thailand. I'm not saying this because we have guests from Thailand. I'm saying this because it's part of the notes. Okay? The Lord showed him the principality, the power, demonic prince over the nation of Thailand. and showed him as the missionary fighting against the spirit. The demonic prince's arms were the size of cliffs. And the missionary was standing fighting this prince, this system, with a needle as a sword and a button as a shield. A needle as a sword and a button as a shield. And this thing was standing with arms that were the size of cliffs. Cliffs. And the Holy Spirit began to teach him and his wife how to pray against a system that had been established for over 4,000 years. This system possessed and owned the land. So what they do is, firstly, they philosophically and idealistically, they release a dogma and a doctrine, and they sell that doctrine through various means to people in that region. And once people subscribe to that, there is a root that takes place in the heavens, and all kinds of covenants tie up the heavens. So that when Daniel is praying and he's asking for an answer, his prayers cannot break through in terms of the answer coming back, because the prince of Persia possessed the heavens. And even the emissary from the throne of God could not break through, because the first place demons possess is the air. If we pray just for you to get deliverance from the little things that have been bothering you and hindering you in your life, if we pray against that and the heavens are not cleared, it's just a matter of time before what was on you comes on you again. There are places you can go to in the world, places you can go to, even in a nation or even in a city, where when you enter a certain place, you feel a heaviness. What that heaviness is, it's a dominant feature that possesses the heavens. It possesses the heavens. We went to New Orleans earlier this year to go do some ministry there. And it's probably the most wicked place I've ever been to. I mean, I've been to London several times, and I've seen some stuff there. And I've done many prayer walks in London, central London. But New Orleans, well, this was another game altogether. Because the atmosphere over that city was dominated by three ruling spirits. The first one was witchcraft and voodoo that originated in Africa, amalgamated with Freemasonry from Europe. The second one was sexual perversion, some of the very worst on the face of the earth in New Orleans. About a month ago, they had a weekend in New Orleans called Decadence Week, which is 1 week where homosexuals by the hundreds, by the thousands, come on the city. And they converge in the city center. They have oral sex, homosexual acts, walk around naked for 7 days in the city, and nobody does anything about it. Because allegedly, it brings money to the city. Sexual perversion during the Mardi Gras season in New Orleans is unprecedented, only maybe second to that in Rio de Janeiro during their carnival. And the third thing that's prevalent in New Orleans is racism on a level and scale that I've never felt before. And so these three dominant features, phenomenal dominant features, have then released phenomenal poverty in the region. But the thing is, they possess the heavens. And I'll tell you what, we had an apostolic summit there, and we dealt with the spirit of Jezebel, the queen of the water world. And the last night I was preaching in the Bilbo's church, everything that was necessary for a good message was present there. There was eloquence, I was flowing with my words. There was revelation knowledge, it was kicking in. And there was authority. But 25 minutes into the message, the lights began to flicker. And we felt this cold thing come in. It was a demonic prince with stuff coming in there. And people were just sitting there and looking at me. And it made me extremely angry. A couple of our team that was there, we sent them to pray at the door. One of our guys, when he touched the door, was actually assaulted by a demonic spirit, came into the building. But what happened was, because of the anointing on my life and the things we had made preparation for, in the 30th minute after settling ourselves, an authority stepped in where we had a one-on-one battle with that force and eventually moved them. But I paid for it later because they never allowed me to sleep that night. I was preaching in Christian Tabernacle, Richard Hurd's church, 2 years ago. And I was dealing with demonic forces in the region. And towards the end of the message, the lights went out. A total blackout. There were no lights. And when they tried to find out what the problem was, that entire subdivision, suddenly, for unspecified reasons, the power went out. When we were dealing with the demonic spirit in that region. So when you have spirits that control the power of the airways and they possess that, they have territorial dominance because they have advantages in the airwaves. They have advantages from the airwaves. And so they are able to control traffic from this level. And the minute you start getting into the airwaves, you are going to have trouble. So people that start a company that's dealing with telephones or that's dealing with the airwaves in terms of radio or television or even the internet, you fight the kinds of battles that if you don't know what you're fighting, you have problems, because the airwaves is the way thoughts are transmitted. And the devil possesses the heavens so he can control the thoughts of men. So if you want to get into a business with telephones, walkie-talkies, internet, and all those things, it's not just about making money. You'd better know who God is. Because you're going to fight battles that you think are unreasonable. They're not unreasonable. A very good friend of ours that's been to this country several times to visit our ministry, his name is Mike Massingale from Christian Tabernacle. Mike began a telephone company and made a lot of money in the first year. And then the devil came for him because he began to finance various kingdom programs in various parts of the world and to a certain extent even here. And he began to fight systems. There were magistrates that he was fighting against in lawsuits against him. Some of the largest telephone companies in Texas were fighting a little company that was trying to make a few dollars. And the problem was, it wasn't just that they weren't happy that a small guy was trying to move in. It was a spirit, because the spirit would not allow Mike to generate revenue at the expense of the airwaves. Teacher and I were preaching in Seattle, in the States. I think that's Washington State. Is it Seattle, Washington State? Way up there. And when we were there, we went to preach for Joe Parker. And in the city of Seattle, there are a number of churches that are strong there. But Joe Parker and Wilma, Joe and Wilma, Joe is the brother to Kathy Hayes, Mike Hayes' wife. And we were in the, I think it was the Marriott Hotel. And while we were there, at that same time, there were two conferences taking place. There was one for UFO things, UFO people, these New Age things. And they were all dressed in Star Wars stuff, but you could feel the force. And then the other conference taking place in the next room was a conference for transvestites. And the evil that was there. But the thing is that Seattle itself, the city of Seattle, which has become probably the money capital of the world per capita, because some of the richest people in the world live in that city. You can go into that city and preach a great message, and it feels like you're hitting a wall like this, because the airwaves are owned by certain forces. I preached a message, building a house for God. And one of the elders of that church came to me and rebuked me and said, "That's the worst message I've heard in my life." I said, "Well, obviously you just got your hearing today." I've never had that kind of a challenge from one of the elders of a church like that. Because of spirits that possess the airwaves. Now, King Omri buys a mountain. The mountain he buys is a mountain called Samaria. This mountain was significant because Omri, the king, began to mobilize a half caste, a mixed race people. And this mixed race people who were Jews who married Gentiles or heathens, they imported the strange religion from idol worship. This is an overview. And so the marrying of these people, be careful what you marry, because you get its demons. So he marries, they marry this, and so these heathen people develop what is called a high place. A high place is where there were rituals of worship that took place. Every time you have rituals on levels like that, where sacrifices are made by taking the lives of animals, whether it's chickens or goats or cows, offering these as sacrifices, and even human beings, most times it's young virgin girls that are taken, or young boys that are sacrificed, and their blood is offered to a demonic spirit. Molech and Chemosh, the predominant gods of the region, were gods where children were offered up as sacrifices. Whenever that happens, it authenticates and substantiates the rule of law of demonic spirits. They rule the heavens. They rule the heavens. And you can start a church and a ministry in a region like that, and you'll have some success. But if you don't understand the dynamics of heavens, who owns the heavens, in the years to come, you will have serious problems in dealing with the demonic world. Because as long as you are here, where you are taking land, which is the next region they take, you'll have problems. But when you start challenging the airwaves, Lucifer himself will come to you. In 1988, we went to the United States to a conference in Salt Lake City. Chichi and I then went to Atlanta for a few days, and I flew to Washington, D.C. to preach in two churches there. The first church I was in a place called Antioch, just out of Washington. There's a nice Indian fellow there that gave me the guitar I have, the poor Reed Smith. And that night we had a really great move of God, but the pastor, they gave me a series of videotapes to look at. One of them was a videotape by Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho, David Yonggi Cho now. And on that cassette, he was teaching intercessors from all over the world the dynamics of taking high places. Because that church in Seoul, Korea, has a mountain that's called Prayer Mountain. It is a high place. And at any given moment, there are not less than 10,000 intercessors fasting and praying in little booths that are like 6x6. They go there just for prayer and pray until breakthrough takes place. That began when God began to teach him the dynamics of taking over the heavens in the city of Korea during just before the Olympic Games in Seoul, Korea. Riots began to break out because there were different political groups and adjutants that wanted to highlight injustices or various inconveniences that they felt were inconveniences. So they wanted to use the international platform to demonstrate. The prime minister or the president of Korea did not call the police and the army. They called Dr. Cho, who mobilized a million intercessors that put an immediate stop to riots in the street. Years ago, there were many riots by the students of the University of Korea, Seoul, Korea. You don't have any riots there for one reason alone. Not because the people have become civil, because most human beings at most times were savages. If we don't have controls and government and policing, we are savages by nature. It's true. Problem in Korea was not that there were police to govern and rule these kids and keep them in line, or shutting down the university and removing their allowances for a year or two. That's not what happened. All they did was they unleashed the prayer warriors who took over the heavens. That's what they did. Dr. Cho said what they did was that the spirits in Seoul, Korea had come from Japan during the Japanese invasion. And those spirits had displaced the spirits from Korea. Many of them were displaced to what is Northern Korea today. Now, as the years have gone by, after they have moved these Japanese spirits back to Japan, the spirits from Korea have begun to come back into Southern Korea. So the dynamic of fighting for the heavens is a constant battle. It's an ongoing battle. It never ceases. While you sleep, they are taking ground. Tell somebody, sleep is a waste of time. No, I know it's necessary. You have to sleep and so on and so forth. But people sleep too much. Amen. Tell somebody, don't sleep too much. Don't sleep too much. Don't sleep too much. Lamech. Fusa. Whatever. Tell somebody, don't sleep too much. So King Omri buys this mountain. He purchases it because of what it stood for and builds the city of Samaria around it. Omri has a son by the name of Ahab. This man, due to an impartation of wickedness, say wickedness is imparted. Say that again. I want to show you something here. When I go and eat at people's houses, I just don't eat. I want to know who cooked what and where. Because I don't want to land up in Mavuku doing this. Amen. You're still young and naive. Amen. Eat and you'll see. Amen. You land up in Mazvingo, amen, with a chawa in your backyard. Oh, we've had experiences. One time, Pastor Gina and I were invited to a lady's house that used to be a member of our church. And she said, we went there and she put food before us. And we felt so uncomfortable. And she put the food there and she was watching us. She said, eat. So we didn't want to eat. Now, Chichi's blessed because she can eat anywhere at any time. You know, she's really blessed in that regard. Now, I was looking at this food and we were both feeling uncomfortable. And her eyes started getting all googly. She was saying, eat! But then we knew there was something going on. So I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, arrange something because we cannot eat this. There's something sinister and very demonic about this thing. The phone rang. Amen. Some angel, some called this girl. And you should have seen how fast we removed that food. When she came back, she said, oh, the food must have been good. You ate very quickly. Would you like some more? Hell no. And then she gave us two cakes. I have never seen such fluorescent icing in my life. We took those cakes home. Even the dogs would not eat that stuff because of what was in it. We have been through things. And so Ahab has an impartation of evil to him. Evil can be imparted generationally. It can be imparted from one nation to another, from one tribe to another. It can be taken from a nation in Haiti, a nation in Benin, taken over on a ship and land up in Haiti or Jamaica. That's how it works. Because evil can be imparted. Be careful what we let in through the gates. Of all the things that they've said about our president and the country, the thing that I admire most about our president is this, is that he has taken a stand against certain positions in homosexuality and perversion, and he will not allow false religions, Islamic stuff, Hinduism and all that stuff to use Radio 1, 2, 3, 4 and 250. They will not allow them on the media. Because somehow, when you allow those things on the media, they start controlling the minds of people. Talk to me, somebody. So watch Ahab now. As a little boy, he's being trained as a spirit medium. Say a spirit medium. He then marries a sangoma. Salibone Igazi. He marries a sangoma by the name of Jezebel. She's an intombi of 16 years old. And she is pledged as a spirit medium because this girl from a young age was trained in sophisticated high-level witchcraft. In other words, she became a medium through which the prince Jezebel lived in her. So to possess the airwaves of the present land of Israel, it could only happen through a marriage. So Omri buys a mountain. He thinks he's a relator. He buys a mountain. But the devil is fixing and arranging some things. Because they don't want the land, they want to possess the airwaves. Our prayers must not just be enlarge my territory. Our prayers must be keeping the airways cleansed. Spiritual warfare has to go to another level in Zimbabwe. Somebody talk to me here. Put your hand on somebody and say, we have to go to another level. Say, we have to go to another level. Say that one more time. Yes, hallelujah. In 1990, we just had some crazy things happening in our lives, just crazy things. And we had an Audi 100 that was a really nice car, but it broke down, wouldn't work. And then I had bought a little car, BMW, for Pastor Chichi, and she hated it, and then that thing wasn't working. So we had cars in our yard that had broken down. They weren't working. We didn't have money to repair them. Remember Mark Anderson and Gloria, Raquel's brother-in-law and sister, came to the house because Mark was taking me to the airport to pick up a certain missionary. When Mark drove into our yard, his little red Alfa Sad cut off and would not start. He just died. And so we pushed it out of the yard. When we got out of the yard, it started. Drove back in the yard, it cut off. Ooh, you people. I'm going to tell you stories of things we have been through so that you know that we are not speaking here from a perspective of we want to travel. We know what we are talking about. And so when Ahab and Jezebel marry, when they marry, the Sangoma brings into Israel the spirit of Jezebel, a demonic prince that controls the airwaves. Watch me now. The Bible says at the Last Supper, Jesus turned to Judas and said, go and do what you have to do, and do it quickly. The Bible says when Judas left the place, the Bible says it was night. And then the scripture says, and the devil entered Judas. So what he did was, when Judas left and walked out, Judas became the medium which the spirit was going to use. Lucifer himself came into Judas. The power of the airwaves was now going to come on a one-on-one combat battle with Jesus the Christ. So when Judas comes, come here. When Judas comes, I'm Judas, you're going to be Jesus. When Judas comes and kisses Jesus like this, and Jesus says, Judas, betrayest thou me with a kiss. This is what happened. Look at the spirit world. Lucifer is in Judas. Everybody in the garden sees Judas. Jesus sees Lucifer inside. And when he kisses him like this, Lucifer says in his ear, I'm gonna get you. Because not everything is as it seems. I was in a place called Pearland, Texas, a number of years ago. There's a woman there, and while I was preaching on deliverance. She manifests a powerful demon. It sounded like speaking in tongues, and everybody is rejoicing because they said this old queen had received the Holy Ghost. She had been serving as an elder in a Hindu temple next door to the church, and she was used as a plant. She infiltrated the system. In that same church, there was a woman that had allegedly repented. She was part of a witch coven that commanded 13 million witches in Texas in that church. And a little fellow comes from Zimbabwe preaching a message and exposes this thing. People could not believe it. But the demons were manifesting there. And so what these things do to possess the airwaves, they position people who come in so smooth to infiltrate leadership so they can control the atmosphere. There are alleged pastors in Africa that are not pastors. They're not pastors. They use witchcraft and demonstrate miracles by the power of witchcraft. They are false prophets. They are demonic plants. They are planted to control the airwaves. And people who don't know the scriptures, who cannot discern the power of God, will be persuaded that those miracles come from God. The Bible says, don't you know that the devil himself is transformed into an angel of light? I would rather have people bear the fruit of the Spirit. People have said to me, oh, your church can't be a very good church because there's no miracles. I would rather have people live right with integrity than have miracles. It would be good if we had both. But miracles is not proof entirely that God is there. Because I know of a number of pastors personally that have gone to witch doctors and have been given power to grow their church. It's not things we have heard. These are things we know. Some years ago, my sister Shirley, whom you all know, was having some serious problems. And it's a long story. Got phenomenal deliverance. But my mom and dad had to take Shirley to a prophet in Mpopoma in Bulawayo. And out of Shirley's pillow, he pulled out a snake. Because of the level of witchcraft Shirley was facing. And took out of Shirley a ball about this size. They tell you. That was full of things that was killing Shirley. And the prophet told my mom and dad that there is a snake that comes into your house and leaves a trail. It looks like water, but it's a trail of urine in your house. These are people that were pastoring a church. Leaves a trail of urine in your house and keeps the whole family and the church under control. This snake, he said, was sent by a pastor whom you work with. Donovan and Clyde came and they saw that snake and killed it. Took several hours to burn it. Sunday morning, when my dad came in to pray early in the morning for church, on the pulpit, somebody had put the head of that snake and human excrement around the pulpit. A pastor. So you have to know the power of the heavens. You have to keep yourself pure. You cannot contaminate your spirit. Jesus said that the prince of this world has come for me, but he has nothing in me. We need men and women that know how to possess the heaven. We need Daniel. Oh, Jesus, help me. We need Elijah that will say, okay, I know you guys are bad. I know you got the things happening here. But we are going to prove today who possesses the heavens. The God that can open heaven and bring, number one, bring more Torah. Let him be God. And then when the fire comes, the God that can bring rain, let that. We need men and women that can take over the airwaves. Church is not a fashion show. Iowa, church is not a fashion show. Church is not a bum jive place. Amen. Church is a place where we come in to establish and advance the kingdom of God. I heard the Lord say, the violent take it by force. Prosperity teaching out of its right perspective is dangerous. Because you can become an idolater chasing money, land, and the heavens are still possessed by powerful spirits who would allow you to have land and money and cars, and they are still in control. I want you to put your hand up and say, we are possessing the heavens. Amen. Put a kingdom grip. We are possessing the heavens. Look what Ahab and Jezebel did in a short space of time. Spirits that possess the heavens control nations and thoughts. They control cultures. They control traffic. And they can trash a nation when unchallenged. So the first thing they possess, the heavens. The second thing they possess is the land. Devils possess land. Included in that would be cities. Genesis, the angels come to Lot's house, who has been elevated to high leadership in the city of Sodom. When the angels come into the house to give Lot the plan of God, the Bible says that the men of the city came and knocked on the door and said, "Those two men that sing in Abba, blue eyes and blonde hair, bring out those two men because we want to give them an education." And the Bible says we want to know them. Lord said to the men of that city, and he identifies the wickedness of homosexuality. Lord says to those men, "You men, do not do this evil and wicked thing, because homosexuality is evil and it is wicked." There are churches that have started in the spirit, started holiness and sanctified, where today in the world they are ordaining lesbians and homosexuals. The Bible is very clear concerning that position. As long as I am here as pastor of this church and the presiding bishop of Jabula, we are not going to ordain any morphy. Thank you very much, amen, for standing right there. I don't know what's wrong with the rest of y'all's legs, amen. We need some people that can take a stand against evil and wickedness. Thank you very much, amen. I'm going to take my bow. Those men were a demonstration of evil in the city of Sodom. And the sin of homosexuality to this day is called sodomy. Based on the characteristics of what those spirits unleashed in that region. They possessed the land. They possessed the land. There's a number of things that release spirits to possess land. The first one is witchcraft. Where you have shedding of blood in acts of witchcraft or occultism, demons claim the land. They claim it. They claim the land. As an overview, we're going to deal with this in depth tomorrow. The spirits will use spirit mediums in terms of witch doctors, whatever we call them here, wizards, witches, soothsayers, charmers, fortune tellers, all those things. And the whole enterprise is organized in the kind of way to tie up the land. Let me show you something. If you look at most cities that have long-term planning, they will have zoned certain areas in a city only for churches to be built. And it's not unreasonable, it's good planning. But how do they get in their mind where that church must be built? Why must we zone this place for churches and not this place? Who is telling them what must be zoned where and why? We were struggling with our church when we first started pastoring the church. We had all kinds of problems there. All kinds. And during intense prayer for many, many months, those years it was Khatija, Maimu Shamba, Pastor Chichi, Sharon and Martin Jackson, Sister Cook and Sister Potts, they used to all come with me very early in the morning. We used to pray for hours. I was doing 5 to 8 hours a day in prayer. And I prayed one time, I said, "Holy Spirit, for almost 6 weeks every day, for hours, open my eyes to see." And one of the things my eyes was open to see, that the church was built on a killing ground many, many, many years before, that when certain individuals had been sentenced to whatever punishment, that on that ground, there was no substantiation documentally, there was no substantiation or evidence that was given to me. It was by discernment of the Spirit, which explained why every time we almost came to a breakthrough, there were controlling forces that took our money and our growth. It was a killing spirit, killing new converts, killing old converts, killing our money, because the land was possessed by a demonic system. That is why when you buy a house that somebody else was in, don't start going, hey, get some elders in there with some oil that know how to pray to remove what was possessing that land. We were called one time to go pray for one of our members here near the American embassy there at a place called the Birdcage thing. It is still called Birdcage over there. On the second floor. Nice people in our church. After a few weeks, both the mother and the daughter were both trying to commit suicide. And when they did a little history on that thing, they found that the previous family that was there, the person, one of the people committed suicide. And the previous family there, someone committed suicide. Because there was a demonic spirit that possessed the flat. We were in Detroit 3 years ago. Mom and Dad were there. I don't know if Mandaza was there, but we were there. And we were on the third floor because we got there early. And we were having a great time. I mean, we were just relaxing and so on. And then when the Jabula conference started 2 days later, the guy said, no, our bishop can't stay on the third floor. He has to go to the top floor, to the presidential suite area. So, of course, we went. The first night was war. Hondo, types of war. Hondo. Pastor Gigi said to the guys, we want to move back to the room we were in. Because something was happening in that room before we got there. We don't know what kind of sins and rubbish and mess was going on in there. There could have been all kinds of sexual abuse with dogs and cats and human beings and funny things going on in there. We're coming in with the hallelujah spirit, and there was a demon that owned the room. Because demons possess land. They possess land. The Lord said, if you will pray and seek my face, 7 verse 14 of Chronicles, the first one, I will heal your land. But why does land need to be healed? Because it is owned and possessed by demonic systems and a curse. Number 3. Demonic spirits possess animals. Scripture talks about this in several places. Revelation talks about frogs. There are certain animals that demons live in. It's chapter number 8, I think it is, of Matthew. When Jesus comes to a place where there were two men possessed with devils. And the devil said to Jesus, do not send us out of our territory. We want to go into those pigs. Because demonic spirits possess animals. I was preaching a revival in Durban years ago. It started off as a little car meeting. It was supposed to go for 2 nights. It landed up going for many, many weeks. In the course of those weeks, there was an Indian fellow that came from Chatsworth, I think it was, or Phoenix. And as we were praying for him, he manifests a powerful demon. And so, under the anointing, I said, come out of this man, you evil spirits, come out. And he said, where do you want me to go? So I was thinking. So, okay, this thing speaks, you know what I'm saying? So I said, go to the vice mile and enter those prostitutes. This is what he did. He said, poof, poof, poof. I don't enter dirty things. No, I'm telling you the truth. And then there were like 3 young girls there that were 12 and 13. And the Spirit said, I want those because they are holy. We had to pray for those girls and protect them. And then I said, go throw me to pigs, because I was using the scripture. The thing says, you are unlearned. I'm a Muslim, I don't eat pork. No. In this zozo. Trin was a baby. Chichi was an effervescent mother. And Reinhard Bonnke was in town. And we were praying with Suzanne Hatting, his intercessor, at their crusade here where Manjoro's church is. The tent, I think it was a 30,000 seat or something like that. Something like that. So we were there praying in there. I was just trying to break out of the system I was in and trying to, you know, break in. And we were praying there. And there was a young colored guy from Cape Town that was the security guy, security group. His name was Basil. And they had these Rottweilers. And so we're walking to, there's a lot of people walking to the tent for the crusade, and some of us walking to the intercessory prayer tent. And Basil was invited by my cousin Carol, who was going at that time to Pastor David and Hazel Hendricks Church in Arcadia. And so Carol was having Basil over for a meal from, you know, because they knew some history there. And so I knew Basil and so on. So standing, I was walking like here to the tent, and Basil was over on the other side by the wall, which is maybe like maybe 50 yards away. And there's people everywhere, and so I waved at Basil. And the dog he had on a chain, the Rottweiler, broke the chain, ran through the crowd, and came for me. Jumped for my throat. And I had my hand up like this, and it grabbed me on my arm. I've got all the marks and scars here. And was pulling me. Now that morning, I was praying in the church. I was there for 5 hours that morning. Never forget that day. And I was saying, devil, we come in for you. In the name of Jesus, we come in for you. We're not playing games anymore. We come in for you. Punk is in town and I'm rising up now. In the name of Jesus, we bind you, devil. And the dog broke the chain. And said, Bonky, I know. Jesus, I know. But when I'm Karachi from Baram Green, who are you? Through the crowd. Through the crowd. The dog was not hungry because he would have eaten the first person in its way. The dog came through the crowd and jumped for me. And when it hit me, put me like this, it was pulling me. Basil came running to get the dog. Basil was hitting me. So I'm guarding myself because he was panicking. Hallelujah. Watch what happened here. I hit the dog with my Bible in the eye. And when I hit it, it opened its mouth and pulled at me. And then I started laughing. I mean, there was blood all over. I started laughing. And I was laughing because I was saying in the morning, I'm coming for you. I walked into the tent. My arm was all bleeding and all. And the lady there that was in charge of the prayer meeting implied that I antagonized the dog. Whatever. So I went to the hospital, Perry, and they put a young stitch here, tetanus injection. And I went home. Chichi was playing with Trin there and so on. And I said to Chichi, she said, why don't you stay at home? I said, no. I went, I said, the devil hit me, I'm going to hit him tonight. I stayed at the prayer meeting by myself all night and all day the next day. The next day when I went to the prayer meeting there for Bonky, Basil was standing far with his dog, amen. Most likely, that dog was possessed. Most likely. Be very careful when you are doing certain places and meetings, because there are certain agencies that the devil will use, including animals. Including animals. They get this principle from the Lord himself, where he has spoken through animals. The third, fourth thing the devil possesses is human beings. Let's spend a bit of time here. Okay, give me 10 more minutes. Can I have 10 more minutes? Yes. Ashley, can I have 10 more minutes? All right. Human beings. Human beings, we're going to talk about how human beings get possessed tomorrow. Today, we are going to deal with the principle of demonic possession in human beings. Demons have a sensitivity where they will feel what you are and who you are. Now, the Bible says, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Now this is what happens. When you are in the earth as a human being, there are certain things that become habits in your life. The most common of these are areas of sexual sin, avarice, greed, addictions, alcoholism, drug addictions, television addictions, food addictions, not just sexual sin, but sexual addictions, all of these kinds of addictions, and there's various others that seem to be harmless. Those are open doors for demonic possession. Emotional disorders such as unforgiveness, bitterness, envy, hate. Those emotions, uncontrolled areas of your life, you become a candidate for demonic possession. Generational entities, where a family has a line of problems, where the grandmother was like this, the mother was exactly the same and worse, and now the daughters are taking on the same traits, candidates for demonic possession. Some people are possessed from the womb. Some are possessed at birth. When certain rituals are taken, the spirit comes in them. Some are possessed as years go by through various rituals and various habits that develop. If a child starts showing traits of sexual looseness very early, they become a candidate for demonic possession. And you can usually tell because they send off a signal that attracts men. Let me just be very, very frank and very open. It's like when a dog is on heat, there's a scent that's released in the air that will bring dogs from everywhere. If the dog is in Rua, dogs will come from Chimoyo. They will be border jumpers because of the scent. You can usually tell if somebody has effeminate traits as a man or as a little boy because the morphies in the area pounce around them because of what they are transmitting. Sometimes it's not physically or emotionally manifest, but there is a spiritual signal that's being transmitted. Many years ago, I was preaching in a place called Pasadena, Texas, just out of Houston. And while I was preaching there, there was a young lady sitting on the front row. She was about 13 or 14. And she came into church with a very, very short dress, which was very uncharacteristic for the church that we were in. And she kept on winking at me. Yeah. It's like she had a cockroach in her eye. I mean, here's a black guy from Africa. And here's a white babe from the United States sitting on the front row winking at Kunta. And I wasn't even wearing kente. And after about 45 minutes, I really got mad and I rebuked that young lady. After the service, the grandmother came to me and says, Pastor, she said, my daughter, her mother is a professional prostitute. And this grandchild of mine does not live with her mother, but once a year she has to spend time with the mother. And when she does, this is what happens. Please, can you help me pray? So I called the young lady. We prayed for her. And I gave them the number where I was staying. And then 14 days later, the grandmother called me. Because this girl, when we tried to remove the demonic spirits from her, there were many on her. These things killed her. 14 days later, she was found dead. Because when demons possess people, that's what they mean. You are mine. And if I can't have you, nobody will. So when somebody manifests a demon, we have to make sure that we protect that person. If they manifest something in a place like this, we have to organize in some way for somebody to be with them in a short space of time so that that spirit does not take their life. I was preaching in Buhera many years ago, and we were there with Moses in Glovo and James in Glovo. 2 weeks before we were there, there was a church that baptized some people, and there was somebody that was possessed with a demon. That demon killed that person in the water. Killed them in the water. My dad lost his front teeth because when they baptized somebody, the person was demon possessed and came out and hit him full in the mouth. So before people are baptized, we have to know if they have something in them. Because we want to eat meat. Sorry, Dad. Hallelujah. Amen. It's his birthday tomorrow. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Now, human beings, and there's many, many cases here. Demonic possession can come on human beings by people pronouncing it on you. We were praying at the church one night, and your brother, Willie, when he touched the door, he started screaming. Something jumped into me. Something jumped into me. And there were about six of us young pastors. We ran and went to pray for him. Because when he touched the door, there was literally something that came into him. It's a spirit. I saw prayer meetings in Johnson Avenue in Sunningdale on a Tuesday. A certain lady there, that very nice lady, when we prayed for her, she manifested this powerful spirit. And when she opened her mouth, this orange vapor came up out of her. It was sulfur. It was demonic spirits. I had no idea that this woman was a spirit medium. She came to church that night. We prayed for her. Sunday when she came, when she ran to the front now to be prayed for, she was doing this. And as spirits would come out, and I said to the Lord, I said, you got to show me what's going on here. And what the Lord showed me, as demons were coming out of her by the authority of the word, there were angels over her head bashing demonic heads. And so she started running for the back door. And I said to the ushers, don't let her out. Because many of the spirits ran to the door and were waiting for her there. On this side of the church, there was another person that I had no idea who they were. And they got up and they started shouting in tongues. But the Lord gave me the interpretation. And it was a demonic spirit in that woman that was saying to this woman, he only preaches for 45 minutes. Hold on. Networking in tongues in the house of God. If we had a fully fledged, powerful move of the Holy Spirit in most churches, you would be surprised who will start manifesting. Turn to the person next to you and say, I know it's not you. Mom Kasesi was one of the most phenomenal prophets I'd ever known in my entire life. And I've seen some great ones. We went for prayer meeting there by the house. We used to pray there almost every second day. We went for prayer meeting one evening. There was a young lady that used to work with Martha D. Her name was Alice. Alice had gone to Musha somewhere up this side here, Mount Darwin, Centenary area. And on her way back, there was a young girl that had manifested a very powerful devil. They thought she had lost her mind. The bus driver was going to throw her out in the middle of nowhere. So this young lady, Alice, grabbed her and said to the bus driver, I'll be responsible for her, and sat next to her and rebuked the spirit. Alice came straight and took this young lady to Mom Kasesi's place where they began to pray for her. When I got there, this girl had already received levels of deliverance. She was very heavily demonically possessed because she was being used as a spirit medium where she was. This girl was eating human flesh of decayed bodies. And it was being stored here. After I got there, Siba was there. After I got there, she had already vomited and emptied out this pouch of decayed human flesh. The smell was more than putrid. But she got deliverance. She got deliverance. I was preaching in our group, and there was a man that I'd met by the name of John Majamanda. You might know him. Amen. I think he's come to see you. John, before he got saved, was serving as a spirit medium, working as a sub-nyanga. And he lived in the cemetery. And the water he would drink was only water that they washed corpses with. He was growing out of the back of his head a lion's mane. His fingers were like eagle's claws. When that man walked into church to get saved, that stuff fell off and got full deliverance. He's the preacher today. In the Herald, many years ago, there was a report of some occurrences in Highfields where there were certain people that were digging graves in Highfields, and the police arrested one of them or two of them. One person had a woman's breast that he had dug up from the grave in his mouth, running with it. Devil possessed. Not insane, devil possessed. 3 years ago, in the Herald, there was a case in Mutari where two brothers were fighting in a house over something, and they were locked in prison, in jail. And that night, when the member in charge heard the fight in there, when he got there, the older brother, under deep demonic possession, was biting the teeth out of his younger brother. Demonic possession. All of those cases I've just cited, due to witchcraft. If you are involved in any form of witchcraft, you are a candidate for demonic possession. Now you, looking at me with those googly eyes, you, amen. You are a candidate for demonic possession. Prostitution and sexual sin on men and women, you are a candidate for demonic possession. Some of the most difficult sins or demons to move out of people are homosexual spirits, because they are stubborn. They refuse to move. They dig in deep. They refuse to move. Sexual perversion is the easiest way to get a demon. The easiest way. Because they are fully fledged in terms of human appetite. They pick it up quickly. When we were at number 50 Salu not so long ago, a certain lady came for deliverance. She was lesbian. She was, what you call these that are ACDC things? They bi, amen. Bisexual, amen. And so she came for deliverance, got a little bit saved, amen. Hey, I don't have a degree in that subject, so please forgive me, amen. I failed my O levels in that subject. So we began to pray for her in the side room there, began to pray for her. And as the demon was coming out, I want you to listen to me. As the demon was coming out, I was praying with this woman with Splasher. I think maybe even Sibyl was there. I'm not sure. As the demon was coming out of this woman, she was doing this. And so I said, Lord, you have to show me what's happening. Please forgive me. Amen. Because this is a very open subject here. When the spirit was coming out of her, it was licking her genitals coming out. It was arrogant and cocky. And it stood by the gate. And that young lady left the place where we prayed for her. The next day, she was telling members of the family of how we had abused her. It's a spirit. It's the easiest way to get a demon. And so when people repent from sexual sin and they repent from prostitution, when it comes to Friday night, we have to pray for these people, because these things start pulling them. Because the spirit comes up and it begins to look at them and begins to say, my house is clean. Shamari yangu. The house is clean. Pane pungwe here. And they start coming. And especially for women, it's a hard fight. Put your hand on your head. Say, I am free.
I am free.
Say that again.
I am free.
Say that one more time.
I am free.
Do not listen to Whitney Houston music, Luther Vandross music, Barry White music if you have had that problem. Because it's the quickest way to summon these things into your room. and they will enter you. They will enter you. Insecurity brings a suicide spirit, which is a stubborn spirit. The spirit of murder that comes from the root of unforgiveness, bitterness, and envy and jealousy. Chichi and I are not jealous of anybody in the world. If you dress better than us, the power to you. You drive better than us, God bless you, amen. Get a better car. If you have a bigger house than us, amen. Make sure you got people to help you clean it. God bless you, amen. We want you to do better. We're not in competition with anybody. Because envy and jealousy and all those things, you open the door for a devil to walk in. And once you have stubbornness and bitterness and hate and envy, that devil refuses to move. Because they hold on to the walls of your soul. So that when you pull it out, it pulls out a part of you. I was driving down the freeway one time and I saw a pastor manifest a demon. It scared me so much. It was a demon of bitterness and unforgiveness. He was banging the steering wheel. There was a song that came on the radio. And when the song came on the radio, there was a few lyrics that the singer said that were not quite scripturally right. He started screaming, "It's not of God." He was banging the steering wheel. And I thought, this man is mad. He was. It was a demon. Pulled to the side of the road. Calmed down after 15 minutes. We pulled into a little place called Dairy Queen. When he went to the toilet, the wife came to me and said, "Please pray for me. I'm living in hell." She said, "This was just a mild spasmic manifestation." It wasn't a spasm. A demon. Demons enter sometimes in physical conditions that manifest in blindness, deafness, dumbness, or certain ailments. Some sicknesses are not physiological. They are demonic. The woman was bound for 18 years. The devil was in her back. The spirit was in her back. Mark chapter 1, the spirit was in his voice, in his mouth. He tied up his tongue and in his eyes, closed his eyes. Norval Hayes was preaching for Bob Tilton many years ago. And Norval was sharing in part of that series of meetings that lasted over 6 weeks. He said he went to pray for a pastor that had been preaching for 17 years, but he could not hear in his right ear. And the Holy Spirit told him to pray for that pastor. And when he prayed, he heard the sound that went, and the Lord showed him that there was a demon in the man's ear for 17 years. Oh yes, he was a preacher. It was there. This may challenge your theology, but it's a fact. It happens. It happens. It happens. Put your hand on your head and say, "I'm free."
I'm free.
Say that again.
I'm free.
Demonic spirits possess water. That's where I'm going to end tonight. Water spirits. African people and Indian people from India are the most affected by water spirits. Certain religions that play with water are putting the lives of people in jeopardy when they mess with water. When you stand there and you do this item here, amen, and you make certain religious signs, you are tying yourself to a demonic system. The Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter went down to bath. Are you trying to tell me that they had no baths in the palace? No, this was not a bath with life boy. This was a religious ritual because the girl could not have children. And she had to raise an heir for Pharaoh. When she goes to the River Nile to bath, she's going to immerse herself and work with the gods of fertility that were demonic water spirits. So when she comes up out of the river, out of the water, here comes Moses in an ark, flowing against the stream to her. And it was an answer to prayer. That's why Pharaoh would not kill Moses. Because she said, "The gods have given me a son." Just spirits. I have never in my life felt water spirits like New Orleans and Cotonou, Benin. kotonu benin. When I say my bubble, I'm very serious. Pastor Yemi, Apostle Yemi Adeferrison had a vision. He's the pastor there. For 18 months, he had 18 different sicknesses from that spirit in that river, the snake river in the heart of Cotonou. He said one night he had this vision that a snake came up and opened its mouth. And out of that snake came five spirits and entered five women in his church. He saw it. And that Sunday, the women had changed in their behavior towards him. They had made themselves sexually available to him. Praise and worship leader committed suicide not long after that. He went to jail for all kinds of stuff that he was accused of. It took apostolic authority to break the power of water spirits. In Zimbabwe, part of our culture has been playing with these things in rituals. It's got to go. It's got to go. We are not going to have the kind of move of God if we are playing with these things. I'm getting into dangerous ground right now, but we are there already. This is a month that's been declared a month for certain rituals and stuff like that. We have to pray that we don't tie our nation to things that can keep us down. Put your hand on your head and say, I will not be a part of rituals that are going to lead me astray. The last thing that comes out of Jesus' side is water. Blood and then water to deal with the water spirits. They are Nigerian deliverance ministries that have taught in some of the things that God has revealed to them that many, many demonic programs and sinister ideas have been birthed by demonic princes under the ocean. One man that actually says, Bishop, not Ayo, what's that Kit McLeod's friend, amen, in Nigeria. This man spent months under the water and under the ground being trained in high level sophisticated witchcraft. If you read Doreen Irvin's book, From Witchcraft to Christ, it's an old writing. Find that book and read it. She started as a prostitute on the streets of Paddington in London and landed up marrying the high priest of witchcraft in all of Europe. And she shares in her book that when she was made the most powerful female witch in Europe, she met Lucifer himself and walked into a fire and never burnt. Clothes weren't singed, hair wasn't singed. And when the others saw the figure that she shook hands with in that fire, they recognized her anointing and her authority. And she said there were many, many times under the anointing she had, she could make people invisible. She said one time the police came to bust up this witch coven and the police were passing right there. She had made everybody in her coven through her power invisible. Yeah, so come to church with your naive hallelujah. Doreen could be sitting right next to you, amen. Invisible. Amen. I don't know why you've reserved that chair there. Amen. Maybe somebody's invisible sitting there. Tell that chair you will have no power over me. Yeah, baby, this is not Vegas. Amen. In conclusion, I can't remember who it was. They were flying from London or from someplace on a long flight where they served three meals. Because most times the plane will serve two meals. But if you like flying Johannesburg, Australia, they serve several meals. And there was a certain gentleman sitting there. The first meal came and he didn't want to drink. He didn't want to eat anything. And so when the third meal came around, the air hostess said to this man, said, sir, the meals are fully paid for, including your ticket. Because she assumed that he thought he had to pay for the meals. So he smiled. He said, I'm from a witchcraft organization. And we are fasting right now so that we can destroy marriages in the earth. Of course he had demons. Of course. Of course.